Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. I want to start the show with a big old shout out to director Guillaume Ren Renard, who, after 8 long years of production, has finally released his movie adaptation of his comic Motherfuckers over in his native France. I've been watching this film's production progress since the first teaser trailer for it came out, I want to say back in 2013, and I've been rooting for its success ever since. If you haven't yet, be sure to read my interview with Run on the Boston Bastard Brigade site. And if you just so happen to be a resident of the great nation of France, do yourselves a favor and see Motherfuckers at a theater near you. I'm sure there's probably at least one or two of you listeners that are from France. Maybe at most, probably just one. But maybe that one person can tell his friends and they can tell their friends and so on and so on. But as for the rest of the world, I've been told that Motherfuckers will be opening in the US, Japan, China, Spain, Australia, Germany, New Zealand, and Austria later on this year. So keep those eyes peeled for when this blend of They Live and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas hits the big screen in your neck of the woods. On that note, let's start today's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Ladies and gents, let's rev up our horsepower with the cast of Uma Musume Pretty Derby. Here's the hit anime's opening theme song, Make Debut.
Chibike fanfare, todoke gomoru made, kagayaku mirai wo kimi to mitai kara. Kakedashitara, kitto hajimaru story, itsu demo. 手を伸ばす 星が照らすかな。強がりだっていつか強さに変わる。100万馬力でジャイアゲン乗り越えてゆこう。
A B-side from their Ryasashi Kimochi single, that was Hal Kelly with Orange Sunset. Some of you may remember Hal Kelly from their theme song contributions to the likes of Eureka 7, Naruto Shippuden, and Demashita, Powerpuff Girls Z. The duo has been on hiatus since 2013, with Halka focusing on her photography career, and Yukali working in the health field as a nutritionist. That is a totally different career from music, which is cool. Now, I've spoken about my love for the Lupin the Third franchise on many occasions, be it here on the podcast or in written review. And what I appreciate most about Lupin is that no matter where his stealing takes him, it always manages to surprise me. Even some of its flawed TV and OVA films and specials like Kiri no Elusive, Green vs. Red, and the infamous The Woman Called Fujiko Mine had some good things about them. Most recently, Lupin, Jigen, Fujiko Goemon, and Inspector Zenigata have found themselves staying put in one country, with the Italian setting in Part 4 showcasing quite possibly the best Lupin series to date. That is, until this new France-based season popped up. What seems to be the first Lupin that takes place in the modern era has presented some of the most holy shit moments that I've seen in anything Lupin related. For a franchise that has lasted 50 years, it is amazing that the grandson of Arsène Lupin still has a boatload of tricks up his sleeve. And for a while, I was asking myself why and how that is. And it wasn't until I started getting deeper into this new arc in Season 5 involving a nemesis named Albert that even has Lupin steaming from the ears when I realized what that is. And the reason why this new season of Lupin the Third, as well as the brilliant Italian Adventure season, feels so much more fresh and unique is that it gives Lupin and his foes and peers moments of seriousness. If you read Monkey Punch's original manga or watch practically the entirety of Lupin's animated adventures, you'll notice that there's practically nothing but laughs, gags, and quite the sexual fan service. Hell, even the Hayao Miyazaki-directed Castle of Cagliostro was mostly goofy, with it ending on a finely written, warm-hearted note. But in the past two seasons of Lupin the Third, while they still have moments of goofiness and sex jokes, you're also getting situations where Lupin is pushed against a wall, and how he gets out of the likes of being targeted by the internet, which was the first arc of the series, was not only surprising, but it left me second-guessing the ways he could have gotten out of such a mess, and I couldn't even predict it. And what's going on right now with this second arc involving Albert, I'm not even sure how he's going to be able to get out of this current situation. Like, I don't really want to spoil anything right now. Okay, what I'm trying to say is if you're not watching the latest Lupin the Third series on Crunchyroll or VRV, then you are legit missing out on probably the best returning series of 2018. In a year with Devilman Crybaby, Gengeki no Kitaro, Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card Arc, Fullmetal Panic, and a bunch of other classics making their grand return, it seems rather appropriate that Japan's most famous thief should come around and steal that title from their grasp. And for the love of God, if you can't tell from the selection that I'm playing from in the background, it is one of the best jazz soundtracks since Cowboy Bebop debuted 20 years ago. Seriously, if you can, be sure to grab it from CD Japan or something. It is very Henry Mancini-like. That's the guy who did the Pink Panther movie scores, in case you didn't know. But in any case, watch the new season of Lupin the Third. It is bonkers amazing. Anyways, coming up next, we have the frontman of the Seattle-based band Darto, who will be releasing his debut solo album, The Limits of Men, on June 1st. He'll also be doing a short West Coast tour, starting in Portland, Oregon, on June 21st, and ending on July 1st in Seattle. From The Limits of Men, here is Nicholas Murs with Neon Figures.
Walking through the valley, my past is here. Forcing a feeling, words help steer. As the gray is rising like smoke from coal, my palms find each other. I've lost my control.
Thank you.
した新しい旅立ちに、まだ戸惑ってる。駅まで向かうバスの中、友達にメールした。でもなんか違う気がした。古いギターを一つ持ってきた。写真は全部置いてきた。何かを手放して、そして手に入れる。そんな繰り返しかな。強がりはいつだって夢に続いてる。臆病になったら、あ、そこで途切れるよ。走り出した電車の中、少しだけ泣けてきた。怖いって言ってた。答えを探すのはもうやめた。間違いだらけでいい。赤い夕焼けが
From her 2006 debut album, From Me to You, that was Yui with Tokyo. No longer a solo act, Yui has since become the frontwoman for the band Flower Flower, who just released their second album, Spotlight, last March. So be sure to grab that if you can. And now, we've got a classic from Japanese punk band Sesshimamire, who may be heading back to America for a tour later this fall. Bassist Yayoi's words, not mine. So here's hoping that it comes to be. From their iconic debut album, Pregnant Fantasy, this is Kidama Boogie.
Kodomo!
どうも。
That was the debut single from Tangents, entitled White Foam. And an interesting thing about this song was that it was inspired by a near-death experience that vocalist Chelsea Ray went through, where she was shocked back to life after her heart stopped. You know, that's some pretty scary shit, but I'm glad she's doing all right now. In a move that surprised many gamers around the world, Activision announced that its upcoming Call of Duty title, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, would not have a single-player story campaign. Instead, it will contain three multiplayer modes: regular-ass multiplayer, zombies, and a battle royale mode called Blackout. And if this was any other video game, this would be how you'd kill not just the buzz of its next installment, but would possibly put an end to the franchise. But because it's Call of Duty, every one of those codheads out there are more than likely jizzing themselves over this news. Okay, now look, I'm not one to judge people's tastes in regards to video games. I'm a journalist in the field, and my opinion on a video game is going to be different from the DCDs and the Jim Sterlings, and even my fellow ninja sisters of the journalism field. If you love a video game, then love it with all your heart. But when a game takes out something that's very vital to the history of said game, you need to step up and say that it's going against the grains of the franchise. I used to love Call of Duty games, with probably the last one I bought being Advanced Warfare. But it got to a point where they were starting to get repetitive and were losing their luster that it had back in the original and Modern Warfare series. And this recent news of the latest Call of Duty being multiplayer only just turns me off completely from ever wanting to play another one of those titles. I'm going to be blunt. I really despise most online multiplayer modes. Titles like Call of Duty, Battlefield, even the ones from Uncharted and The Last of Us aren't fun to play online when you've got dicks on the other hand just, well, dicking everything up. It's frustrating, especially for those who are kind of slow to get an attack going and can't seem to get a single shot in. When it comes to online multiplayer, I want to have a good time playing, not get frustrated and then cussed out by some 8-year-old German kid who fragged my ass for the billionth time. And the same goes for these battle royale games like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite. They can get dull really fast. Personally, when I go online to play, it's usually to do co-op, like in Sniper Elite or something. And if I do competitive online gaming, I'm usually playing stuff like Mario Kart, Splatoon, Senran Kagura Estival Versus or Peach Beat Splash, Street Fighter, and Overwatch. And I know you may be thinking I'm being all double standards with Overwatch, as it's also an online multiplayer-only game. The difference with Overwatch and Black Ops 4 is that there are many other forms of media that are telling the stories of Tracer, Reaper, McCree, Roadhog, and the others. And I'll be real, the stories in the Overwatch short films are fantastic, practically on the same level as most award-winning CGI-created short films. And all honesty, Activision could do that with Call of Duty if they wanted to build up its hype. But because the hype is already there just by slapping it with the Call of Duty name, they probably aren't going to do it. Now, EA just announced the next installment of Battlefield, which has multiple story campaigns, multiplayer modes, and it's claiming to not have paid DLC or even those dreaded loot boxes. And if EA pulls this off, it could make Activision nervous, which I hope it does. What makes it even a bigger fight is that Black Ops 4 comes out on October 12th, and Battlefield 5 arrives just 1 week later. That could spell trouble for Activision if their multiplayer-only game winds up being lackluster, giving EA the chance to sweep up the players with a mere snap of the fingers. Because let's be real, our generation gets bored very quickly. And if Black Ops 4 is too samey for its own good, then those players who have saddled up with Activision for many years will find themselves jumping ship in the same way many Xbox 360 fanboys are now preferring the PlayStation 4. My point is, if you want to keep your audience, don't take away something that made its series precious, and don't even attempt to cater with a current fad, because fads come and go, and once one too many Battle Royale titles come out, it'll definitely become a you play one, you've played them all sort of situation. And players don't want the same fucking thing every time. They want to be surprised. So I urge Activision and Treyarch Studios, please surprise the living crap out of us with Black Ops 4. Don't make it just a bland multiplayer. Give it something that no one in the world has ever seen be brought to a multiplayer title. Convince people like me, who just cursed out the name of multiplayer games, to want to go out and buy Black Ops 4. If you can do that, then you can keep your beloved war gaming crown that you've held onto for many years. If not, then players everywhere will be seeking something else that will more than likely dethrone you. Let us return to this week's playlist. Miwa is back with a brand new single entitled Update, which is the current end theme to My Hero Academia. But right now, we're actually going to spin one of the B-sides on that single because it's one awesome track that more people should hear. This is Live Fast, Die Young.
咲かせたいから種を 奇跡そういう二つとない宝物を集めて優しくも揺れてる声と合わせて一つ一つ片付けてく僕らは不確かなまま駆けてく意味も取れない日々だ錆びてない布の乾いた現実のような音はまるで悲しい旋律そういう二つとない宝物を集めて優しくも揺れて
L Garden with Monster from their 2005 album Right on the Grill. 10 years ago, L Garden went on an indefinite hiatus. But this month, they announced that they are back! The Boys Are Back in Town tour will commence in Japan this August, and I hope they'll bring their reunion over here to the States. I am legit excited about this. I was prepared to talk about how sad it is that they were on their hiatus and mention all the side projects the band members have, but this is better news in my honest opinion. Now, speaking of reunions, another one that excited me a little ways back was that of Mike Skinner and the Streets. And honestly, he's a far better storyteller than Eminem ever has been. This song was kind of my jam back in college, and it comes off of their 2004 album, A Grand Don't Come for Free. Here now are the Streets with Fit, But You Know It.
Excuse me, Gail. I know it's a bit embarrassing, but I just noticed some timelines on your shirt.
See, I reckon you're about an 8 or a 9. Maybe even 9 and a half in 4 beers time. That blue top shop top you've got on is nice. Bit too much fake tan, no, but yeah, you score high. But there's just one little thing that's really, 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 really annoying me about you, you see. Yeah, yeah, like I said, you are really fit. But my gosh, don't you just know it?
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it?
So when I looked at you standing there with your hoard, I was waiting in the queue looking at the ball, wondering whether to have a burger or chips or what the shrapnel in my back pocket could afford. When I noticed out the corner of my eye, looking toward my direction, your eyes locked on my course. I couldn't concentrate on what I wanted to order, which lost me my place in the queue I waited for. Yeah.
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it?
Whoa.
Leave it out.
Are you smoking crack,
Mike,
or something?
Mike, just leave it, just leave
we
it.
We cannot
out.
Have that behaviour in this establishment.
It's not worth it, Mike. Just leave
don't
it.
Touch me.
It's not worth it.
Don't touch me.
Leave it
don't
out.
Look, I'm alright. Don't touch me. For a while there, I was thinking, yeah, but what if picturing myself pulling with bare white hot wit, snaring you as you were standing there opposite. Whether or not you knew it, I swear you didn't tick. And when that bloke in the white behind us lot queuing was clocking onto you too, yeah, I had to admit that yeah, you are fit, and yeah, I do want it, but I stopped sharking a minute to get chips and drinks.
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know.
Now, I bashed my head hard earlier due to the brew, but I am digressing slightly, so I'll continue. I didn't want to bowl over all geezer and rude. Not rude like good, but just rude like uncouth. You girls think you can just flirt and it comes to you. Well, let me tell you, see, yes, you are really rude. And rude as in good, I knew this as you stood and queued. But I just did not want to give the satisfaction to you.
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know me.
Wait, and just as you started to make your big advance with the milkshake and that little donut in hand, I was like, nah, I can't even know you look grand. But you look sharp there, smiling hard, suggesting and gleaming away with your hearty, hearty looking tan. But I admit the next bit was spanners my plan. You walked towards my path, but you just brushed right past and into the arms of that fucking white shirted man.
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it.
Oi, what do I give a fuck, I got a girlfriend anyway. Oi,
whoa, we've all had a bit drink,
drunk,
mate.
We've had a few, fair play. I got this Stella I bombed from that last cafe. This night's not even begun, yes, oh yay. I did fancy you a bit though, yeah, I must say. I would rather I hadn't mugged myself on display. But this is just another case of female stopping play in an otherwise total result of a holiday.
I'm not trying to pull you, even though I would like to. I think you are really fit, you're fit, but my gosh, don't you know it.
You're fit, but you know it.
You're fit, but you know it. You're fit, but you know it. I think I'm going to fall over. I think I'm going to fall over. Fucking hell.
Show.
From their latest album, World Domination, that was Bandmade with Clang. The gals will be hitting Mexico, Malaysia, and Singapore this summer, but nothing as of yet on U.S. dates. Hopefully, they'll add some of those later on. Listeners, sometimes you have to walk into a movie blindly to fully appreciate its craft. You don't read anything about it, nor do you even watch a trailer for it. All you see is the movie poster and its title. And then think to yourself, hey, this could be a fun one to watch. Only instead of something fun, you bear witness to a film that's kind of soul-crushing, to say the least. And that's what I recently went through after watching the Spanish animated film Bird Boy, The Forgotten Children. Before I continue, I want to make sure that you all know that despite it being released by a company called G-Kids, that this film isn't for the youngest of viewers. Teenagers and adults can definitely watch it, but no one under the age of 13 should see this movie. Because I went in blindly to this film. And because of that, I initially thought that I was going to see some sort of heroic cartoon about a half-man, half-bird protagonist on an epic rescue mission to save a bunch of kidnapped children. As that's what I imagined a film called Bird Boy, The Forgotten Children would be about. What I got instead was a story about drug addiction, a fight to escape a living situation that's just horrible, and why resistance to the darkest parts of life are pretty much futile. The film focuses on three students who are trying to escape an island that's seen far better days, with one of them having a boyfriend that is struggling with an addiction to pills and powder. And to be fair, the boyfriend, who is the bird boy that's mentioned in the title, he's had a rough life with the murder of his father, so using these drugs is his way to ease the pain of this loss. It's bad, but I can kind of understand his situation. So the kids traverse through the garbage-riddled island as we watch other citizens scavenge for copper for cash, some of which occurs with blood soon on the hands of the stronger survivors. And as the film goes on, a couple of the other police officers are attempting to kill Bird Boy, whom they think is smuggling drugs, but in reality, Bird Boy is gathering these glowing acorns to replant the trees to revitalize the island. I could go much deeper into the symbolism of the film, from Christian fundamentalists caring more about their faith than what sort of harm has befallen on their children, to even the portrayal of the cops as being more trigger-happy than law-abiding. But Bird Boy is one of those kinds of movies where I really cannot in good conscience dive too deep into, because it would legit ruin the experience of what this movie has to offer. I will warn you that despite its cute-looking characters, it's a visually and emotionally disturbing movie that will have you thinking about it for days, maybe even weeks after you've watched it. With that being said, Bird Boy, The Forgotten Children is absolutely worth watching, even if it is pretty soul-crushing. If you wish to check it out for yourself, you can now catch it in both its English and its original Spanish dub on VRV. However, I would advise all you listeners to mentally prepare yourself for some pretty heart-wrenching and depressing moments, as I kind of wish someone else would have done the same for me. I would also suggest you put another animated film on standby afterwards, like Kiki's Delivery Service, or, I don't know, something with the Muppets, as you may need to watch it after you view Bird Boy. Okay, time to spin a couple more songs. Here's some Uberworld for your ears, who, like Miwa, have contributed a theme song for My Hero Academia this season. From their 2007 album, Progolution, this is Ukiyo Crossing.
Ari no mama ga suteki da to kikite kureta koto ga ureshikute ureshikute knock 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 myself beyond the crossing to choose la 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 時代と文化のパイロンこの平成生き抜くためには死ぬ気でいかなきゃ神の力作も行き先なくした子羊ラララララ退屈な毎日
cause he's to choose. La la la, 世界に背を向けるから第三惑星から15時代の2000年神の力作もさまよう鎧の無茶ぶりやララララララ希望に満ちてたはずだろう Where the eye go low自分がいやもういや塞ぐ心にくれた夢も弱さも外見もこの世に一つしかない君の個性だろうありのままの自分が好きになれないことが悔しくて悔しくてノクノクノクノクノク嫌いだったこの弱点も強さに変えていこう自分なんかにできないなんてそんなこと思いたくない描く明日が浮世離れでも僕はもう迷わない We are the crossing to choose
Comprised of Bauhaus founders Daniel Ash and Kevin Haskins, that was Pop Tone with Mirror People from their self-titled debut release that'll be in stores on June 8th. Pop Tone recently wrapped up a West Coast American tour, so hopefully they'll give the East Coast a go sometime later this year. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop, Anime, and Video Games Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Nicholas Murs and Pop Tone, made by Shameless Promotion PR, and a very special thanks to Tangents for sending down their latest music for us to spin. This Thursday, be sure to check out the next episode of Wicked Anime on the Nerdy Show Network, where we chat about awkward VR games, which Capcom franchise the duo of Mila Jovovich and Paul W.S. Anderson will be ruining next, and we fit in more suggestions for the hockey anime that we are trying to create. Join Andrew, Johnstar, Elite for Derek, myself, and special guest Greg from another anime convention for this fun and wild discussion. Our final track comes from the Kings of Death Jazz, Soil and Pimp Sessions, who just released their 13th studio album entitled Dapper, which has collaborations with Daichi Miura of Radwitz, Eagle Rappin', Awitch, and a few others. A great album that will cool you down during the upcoming summer heat. Here now are Soil and Pimp Sessions with Explorer. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.